This place is a shithole, Devin thought. He saw several young men milling about on the right. Pushers, Devin said, disgusted. He entered the doorway and the handle wouldn't budge. Devin kicked in the door. A dead smell. Devin heard nothing. He reached the end of the hallway and listened to a faint crying sound. Devin crouched down as he approached the door. As soon as he did, he heard a loud bang. Part of the door shattered outward. The bottom portion of the door was still intact. He reached for the handle and flung it open. Bang! Another roar of a weapon. Devin opened up a pouch on the side of his armor, pulled out a small object. Devin tossed it into the room. Seconds later, he heard a bang. Devin peeked around the corner. A woman in her late 30s was screaming as she held a boy in her hands. On the child's lap, a bloodied sonic blaster was resting in the kid's blood. Devin wasn't expecting this. He gave another deep breath to the ailing boy and watched his chest and listened for any signs that he was trying to breathe on his own and found nothing. Then he felt the hand on his right shoulder. Todd turned to tell the clown touching him to back off right now, but then he saw him. Todd froze for a moment as he strained to remember why he knew this man. And then he saw his lips moving, and about the time he realized what the man was saying, the jolt hit him and momentarily stunned him. It seemed like an hour, but the stun effect was but a blink of the eye, and his training told him he needed to give the boy another breath. He gave the breath, and as he came up, he realized the man still had his hand on his shoulder and had continued to repeat the prayer he was chanting. Father, let him do this. Father, give him the strength. Father, let him do this. And once more, he felt a massive surge of electricity into his shoulder and down his arm. Todd almost instinctively gave the boy another breath, and this time, as he pulled away, he felt the boy begin to gag and stutter breath. He looked up at the man holding his shoulder and saw him smile, and a familiar shiver ran down his back. The man walked away, looking back once, and his eyes met Todd's, and deep down, Todd knew. Soon it was Stella's birthday, and she got the only present she wanted, her own puppy. Stella named her Twinkle. The sweet puppy immediately stole Stella's heart. But not only that, Twinkle also stole her bed, her toys. She even tried to steal Stella's food. Stella quickly realized that having a puppy wasn't easy at all. Sergeant Darryl Smith was a Black Marine, three-striper, with one tour in Vietnam and only a few months away from his second. Raised in South L.A., Sergeant Smith was no one to screw with. On the first day that he lined us up at attention, he shouted, "I want you to look at the man to your left. Now look at the man to your right. One of you motherfuckers is not coming back." She took a slow, looping swing, then held the pose for a moment. She looked to her right and smiled. "And this," she said, "is how you correctly set up to hit great drive?" "Cut. Do it again." "But why? That was good." Greg shook his head. "Hit a great drive, not hit great drive." Carla thumped her club against the ground. "These stupid English rules, little words such as the and but who cares?" "It's okay. Everything else about that take was fine. Come on, do it again." "Okay. What's next, cameraman?"
"Go ahead now and start inhaling slowly to a count of 4, 3, 2, 1, and slowly exhale to a count of 6 as you release all tension. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, completely relaxed now.